time for Bookworm. This is the show for avid readers and those that should be avid readers on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, here's your host.
Thank you and welcome to the program, Bookworm, on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Lindsay Marie, and today I have a guest, Brayden. Say hi.
Hi.
And today we'll be talking about books again, as always. So, I'm going to go first and read Wild Wild Wolves by Josie Milton, illustrated by Larry whatever it is. I think it's Schwager. It's kind of hard to pronounce. On a summer night in the far north, the wolf is howling, ow, ow. One by one, all the wolves smile around, throw back their heads, and join in. Miles away, a family camping near a big lake hears the howls. The children grab their parents' hands. Nothing sounds as wild, as scary as a howling wolf. Do wolves howl just before they attack? No, a howl is a friendly sound. Wolves howl to let other wolves know where they are. It may even howl just for fun. Sometimes a pet dog throws back its head and howls. It sounds just like a wolf. That's because wolves and dogs are close relatives. Long ago, when people lived in caves, some wolves began to wait nearby for the scraps of meat the people threw away. Cave children played with the wolf pups. Little by little, the wolves became tame. These tame wolves were the first pets every dog on Earth today, from a tiny toy poodles to big St. Bernards, are related to them. For few people still try to tame wolves, Eskimos have trained them to pull dog sleds. But a wolf is not a house pet. To be happy, it must be wild and free. A wolf's long legs are made for running up to 40 miles in a single day. Its huge paws is as large as a grown-up's hand. Its powerful jaws can crack the leg bone of a moose in a single snap. Ah, creepy. Wolves are hunters. They stay alive. They need fresh meat, lots of it. A hungry wolf can eat 20 pounds of meat. I'm guessing that wolf is pretty fat by now. Like, if you eat that much meat, you gotta eat, like, put some on some belly weight or something. Like, is that weighing you down?
Yeah.
In a single meal. That's like eating 100 hamburgers.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Like, I would get sick by the time I ate 100 hamburgers to match 20 pounds of meat.
Or maybe even, like, 10 hamburgers, I would start getting sick.
Yeah,
not feeling good.
Yeah, my tummy would rumble, and I'd be like, oh. And then I would just, like, run to the bathroom and throw up. Like, it's not even, like,
Every few hamburgers.
To get all this meat, wolves usually hunt big animals like deer and moose. Moose. But a hungry wolf will chase and eat a rabbit or a mouse. They may even go fishing. Do they have like a fishing rod or something that they can use for wolves?
They use it with their paws. Like, and they just they reach underwater and they just, like, they grab fish and then they just eat it.
Yeah, like raw, like not even like... Like, there might be holes in the fish, but it still might be alive. Like, it's crazy. Ugh. Like, a fish flopping around in your mouth trying to eat it. Wolves live in groups called packs. The pack members talk to each other with their bodies. When a wolf is scared, it holds its ears close to its head. When a wolf is happy, it wags its whole tail. If it just wags a tip, watch out. It's getting ready to attack. Other wolves know... The signals help the wolves live together without fighting. Every pack has a lead male and a lead female. The lead male is strong and smart. It will fight away any wolf that tries to take over his pack. The lead female the lead female is usually the mother of the pack's cubs. Just to let you know, if you've never seen a cub, they are so cute. Not that I've seen one, it's just seen pictures of them before.
Yeah, they're like, really cute.
Yeah, they're like really small. They have a part in this book where the pups learn to hunt and
yeah, I saw that.
But you'll hear that later in the book, so yeah. Let's not like spoil it. The lead male shows he's the boss. By the way, he acts. He looks at other wolves right in the eye. The other wolves tuck their tails between their legs. They rub noses with the leader and lick his face.
It's like licking your dad's face or something.
Yeah, that's like if you actually took your tongue and licked your dad's face. If he had like a beard like mine does, which is like spiky because he shaves it, that would like hurt my tongue. Like my tongue would have little hairs sticking out of it because of my dad. Ew.
It's weird.
In the spring, the lead female gets ready to have pups. She digs a den in the side of a hill. The other wolves help her. The pups are born in early May. Their eyes are closed. They cannot see or hear. Like, if they can't see or hear, how do they know where their food is? Like,
well, they just, like, sense it.
I forgot. Like, I was like, of. Like, do they even have smell? Oh, yeah, they do.
Of course they smell.
Yeah. They just can't see or hear. Best. They live by drinking their mother's milk. So I guess they obviously don't have to eat meat when they're so young.
Well, when they get older.
They, like, eat meat. Like,
they'll get a taste of
yeah.
meat.
I think this is...
the other part of the story.
I think they're when they're, like, at least 3 weeks, they taste the meat.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks, the pups are big enough to leave the den. At the first, they are afraid, but soon they are racing up and down the hillside playing tag. One pup sees a grasshopper. She pounces, swoosh, but the grasshopper gets away. The pup looks surprised. She tries again and again. This little wolf's first lesson in hunting. The adult wolves take turns babysitting. While the father guards the pup, they tug on his tail and nip his ears. And if they're too rough, he just gets up and walks away. And just so you know, nipping means biting really hard. Like, and then, like, that must be painful. Like,
well,
he's a father. Well, he's basically used to bites and nips and pulling tails. Because, like, I'm pretty sure they get in fights pretty much.
Yeah.
Like,
but
all the time.
They wouldn't fight their own cubs.
Really. Yeah, like. They would fight other wolves
to protect their babies.
Like, well, the adults will.
Yeah. But in another pack, they might fight the babies.
Like, the pack might fight the other pack, but not for, like... The good pack has to fight for their babies to make sure that they're safe. Because if they all die, then the pups will get eaten by bigger animals that live in the forest.
Or the...
The pups roll around pretending to fight. One of them is stronger than her sisters and brothers. She holds on her tail high. She's already acting like a lead wolf. So if one's stronger than the other, that means that one day she's going to become the lead female or the lead male.
Probably.
Yeah. The pups are hungry all the time. When the older wolves are go hunting, they chew extra food and swallow it. Does that mean like their dad spits it out? Like,
no, yeah, like kind of throws it up, kind of.
Ugh. Like, I think I just lost my appetite for, like, lunch. Well, I already ate brunch, so I'm guessing, like, dinner.
Dinner.
Yeah, like,
meat.
That's just disgusting. Like, eating meat that came out of your dad's mouth, like, 5 hours ago, like, just eating it and then they have to, like, throw it up. How hard is it to just force food up your mouth if you don't want to throw it up? Like, it's disgusting. The pups are hungry all the time. The older wolves are a little hungry. Back in the den, they split up the chewed food, and the hungry pups get their first taste of meat. By September, the pups are half grown. They spend hours chasing mice, but they don't catch any. They are too slow and too clumsy. But soon the pups will hunt along with the pack. In 6 months, they will be good hunters. In one cold November morning, the wolves smell moose nearby. The pack moves out in a single file across the snow. The wolves chase many moose. Most of them run away, but one big moose stands in fight. It kicks out with its powerful hooves. An angry moose can kill a wolf. Soon the pack leaves it alone. Finally, the wolves, an old sick moose, is too weak to run or fight. The pack fans out in a circle. One wolf charges and bites the moose's nose, and it hangs on tight. In minutes, the fight is over. The hungry wolves can eat. Let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Marie, and Braden's here. But we'll finish this book when we get back from the break. You're listening to Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network.
Looking for a show about your favorite movies, stars, and DVD releases? Get ready for Kids First Coming Attractions on the Voice America Kids channel. Your hosts, all eight of them, have been selected by Kids First as film critics through a national competition. Each week, they will preview new movies before you see them, walk the red carpet with the stars, and will review the latest DVDs. Our hosts range from ages 7 to 14 to give you a wider kids' perspective. Kids First Coming Attractions is heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Kids.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Do you think that you can't change the political system in our country? Well, one host is doing that and started at age 13. Join Connor Brantley for Hello, the Future is Calling. Our show takes an inside look at what's going on in national, state, and local government from a new and very unique perspective. Connor holds our elected officials accountable and will bring you an unbiased look at what's really going on. Listen for Hello, the Future is Calling every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Kids. Help make a difference. Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now, back to our show.
Hey, welcome back to the show, Bookworm. I'm Lindsay Marie, and I'm still here with Braden. And let's continue with the book, Wild Wild Wolves, by Joyce Milton. I can't read the illustrator's name. It's too hard. Like, it's okay. Let's pick up where we are. A wolf hunting alone can never catch a large animal, and hunting in packs help the wolves to survive. Many people have never seen a live wolf. The only wolves they meet are in fairy tales and horror movies. The fairy tale wolves are greedy and dangerous. The scariest of all make-believe wolves are the werewolf. By day, werewolves are ordinary men or women, but at night, the moon is full. Werewolf's teeth become long and sharp. The hair grows on its face. It runs for all fours just like a real wolf. The werewolf roams the moonlight forest and attacks everyone it meets.
It's like...
Like, for everyone out there, hair, they're not real.
Like...
So don't go to bed tonight and think that they're going to show up in your closet and then eat you in the morning. Like, early morning.
Like, imagine if your, like, hair was growing
like,
out of you.
Like, you had, like, a beard down here, but you literally had, like, face fur just puffing out of your face, like, your
and
cheeks.
Then your teeth are growing.
Yeah, like, they're like, and then they're like, my tooth! So
long. Ooh, pointy.
Let's get back to the book. The legends about killer wolves made people believe that wolves were their enemies. For a long time, hunters shot every wolf they can find. They even shot wolves from airplanes.
A bad hunter.
Poor wolves. But at last, some scientists began to wonder if wolves really were so dangerous. They went deep into the forest to study how wolves live. One scientist was walking in the forest and he met two wolves by accident. One wolf ran away, but the other wolf walked right up to him. The scientist was scared, but the wolf just licked his face and trotted away. The scientists learned that healthy wolves do not attack people. But when wolves wander into farms, they soon learn that a lamb or calf makes a good dinner. Some farmers use sheepdogs to scare away wolves. Some kill wolves with poison traps and guns. Or guns. Sad?
Just let them be.
Yeah, like...
Don't do anything. Like, don't do anything.
Like, try to save the wolves in the forest.
Yeah.
Because they could become endangered, and then they would become extinct, which means that there is no more living on the planet, which means that you cannot find them anywhere on the planet. So help keep these wolves safe. The American Indians did not fear wolves. They admired the way the wolves lived in peace together. The Siouxsie Indian told the story of a woman who got lost in a snowstorm. A wolf pack saved her life. The wolves brought her food and let her sleep in their den. They taught her their secrets. The woman went back to her own people, and she taught them the secrets of the wolves. She became a powerful magician. A few hundred years ago, wolves lived all around the world. Thousands of wolves lived in North America. Today, there are more people and fewer wolves. In most of the United States, there are no wolves left at all, except for zoos. Areas in the red or black snow are where wolves once roamed. Areas in a black show where wolves are found today. There's very little black here, which means that there's very little wolves on the planet, so try to keep them safe, like all possible you can.
They're sort of like endangered.
Yeah, like basically, and then there's lots of red parts, extinct, which means there's more people than there is
wolves.
Yeah. Wolves don't cause pollution. They live without hurting the land. The packs hunt to survive. There are always moose and deer left to have next spring's babies.
Always.
Yep. There's always...
It's like... It's like they're not even...
They're growing.
A bit endangered.
Yeah. Today, people are trying to live in tune with nature as wolves do. They want to save some of the wild places left on Earth. If that happens, there will be wild, wild wolves howling from the forest for years to come. So, try to help wolves everywhere in the world. And now it's Brayden's turn to read.
This book is called May I Please Have a Cookie? And it's by Jennifer E. Morris. Mommy was baking cookies. Alfie loved cookies. He loved to smell cookies. He loved to look at cookies. But most of all, Alfie loved to eat cookies. Don't grab Alfie, said Mommy. Can you think of a better way to get a cookie? Alfie thought and thought and thought. Then Alfie got an idea. He found a big coat and a big hat. I want a cookie, said Alfie in a big, deep voice. Oops, his mustache fell off. No, Alfie, said Mommy. Think of a better way to get a cookie. Alfie had another idea. He went outside. Mommy put icing on the cookies. Then she saw something. There was a hook grabbing the cookie that was from outside. Get down, Alfie, cried Mommy. Yeah. Think of a better way to get a cookie. Alfie thought of another idea. He went to his room and got some paper. He cut and colored. Soon Alfie had his own cookies. But he still wanted a real cookie. He began to cry. Mommy hugged Alfie. Like he hugged him so tight. Your cookies look yummy. May I please have one? Then Alfie had the best idea of all. Mommy, may I please have a cookie, he said. Yes, you may, Alfie, said Mommy. Thank you, said Alfie. You're welcome, said Mommy.
All right. That book made me want to have a cookie. And that was another good one. Well, it was one of the good ones by Brayden. And now he's going to read another one for us.
Go ahead. This is called The Foot Book by Dr. Seuss. Left foot, right foot, right. Feet in the day, feet in the night. Wet foot, dry foot, low foot, high foot. Front feet, back feet, 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 feet. How many different feet you meet. Slow feet, quick feet. Well feet, sick feet. Up feet, down feet, here come clown feet. Small feet, big feet, here come pig feet. His feet, her feet, fuzzy fur feet. In the house and on the street, how many different feet you meet.
That was a good book. Now I'm going to take care of more
about feet.
Yeah, I'm going to take more care of my feet now. Like, yes. I don't usually wash them because they stink often. Like, I just start washing them now. Now let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Marie, and we have Brayden here today. And you're listening to Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Bookworm is a show for the reader and those that should probably be reading a little more. We'll tackle the classics, the bestsellers, and the brand new works that you won't be able to put down. Your host will be combing the pages of them all and letting you know what needs to be in your personal library and what might be better reading for the bathroom. Tune in to Bookworm, airing Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. We promise that listening will be just like delving into a good book.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
Nobody understands what you go through. You're not quite a teenager yet, but you're definitely not a little kid anymore. Tune in to Life at 12 for the answers and support you need to get through this time in your life. Your hosts have some amazing life experiences, and because of this, they have the know-how to get you through 12 and on to 13 and beyond. It's a tough point in your life right now. Get the advice you need on Life at 12, Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Kids channel.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Hi, welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. This is Lindsay Murray from Bookworm, and today we have a guest. His name is Brayden.
Hi.
And he's going to read us The Dinosaurs Next Door.
Mr. Puff lived in a tall blue house. Outside, it looked a little odd. Inside, it was even stranger. Mr. Puff was an inventor. His whole house was crammed with amazing inventions. His latest invention moved him from place to place in an instant. Before that, he invented a robot to clean up spills. And after that, he invented the wheelie cup, but it spilled most of his tea, which is why he invented the robot. His new project wasn't an invention at all, but it was so exciting he had asked Sam, his friend from next door, to see it. Sam had promised to come over after school. When Sam arrived, Mr. Puff was bursting with excitement. He led Sam to his study and dived under a table. With a smile, Mr. Puff came out with a basket. "Eggs," said Sam, looking at the four big eggs. "These aren't just any old eggs," said Mr. Puff. "They're dinosaur eggs." "What?" cried Sam. "But dinosaurs died out zillions of years ago. How? Where?" Mr. Puff looked mysterious. "Oh, they were to pay me for an invention," he said. Just then, the blue spotted egg began to jiggle and jump and bump in the basket. A crack appeared, zigzagging along the shell, and then another and another, until finally a little green head burst out. "Wow," said Sam. The creature stared back at Sam. Sam stared back. "Okay, isn't it wonderful?" said Mr. Puff. "But is it a dinosaur?" said Sam. "Was it possible?" It did look like a dinosaur. As they watched, the other eggs began to jiggle and jump and bump in the basket. Their shells shattered. The eggs had hatched. The baby dinosaurs were very lively. They looked around, making excited squeaks. "I expect they're hungry," said Mr. Puff. "Let me go home to look for my dinosaur book," said Sam, and raced off. Soon he was back. "That one looks like ours," said Sam. He pointed to a blue dinosaur with red spikes on its head. "That one eats meat then," said Mr. Puff. "But some dinosaurs only eat plants." They weren't sure what sort of dinosaurs the others were. So Sam put out a large plate of cat food and a large plate of salad just in case. "It's my dinner time too," said Sam. "I have to go, but I'll be back soon. I must be the only person with dinosaurs next door." Bigger and bigger. Over the next 3 days, Mr. Puff watched the dinosaurs. He watched them grow and grow and grow. By day four, he had to invent an extra long ruler to measure them all. By the fifth day, he was worried. They just keep on growing, he told Sam. Can't you invent something to stop them? Sam asked.
That's it, cried Mr. Puff. He ran up to his dark, dusty attic. It came back with a silver box of wheels. A yellow hose sat coiled like a snake on top.
What is it? Asked Sam.
This is my size-o machine, Mr. Puff said proudly. It makes things shrink or grow.
Perfect, said Sam. Does it work?
Of course it works, said Mr. Puff. Ready, set, fire. Oh dear, said Mr. Puff. Something must be wrong. He peered inside the machine. Ah, he said. I hadn't my wires crossed. Try now, Sam. Sam picked up the hose. Ready, set, fire, said Sam. The dinosaur vanished.
Where has it gone? Asked Mr. Puff. Did I shrink it too much?
Sam looked down the hose. Careful, said Mr. Puff. I don't want you shrinking too. They shrank one dinosaur in the kitchen. Another was outside having a snack.
Ready, set, steady, fire, said Mr. Puff.
But where was the last dinosaur? Just then, they heard a crash from the bathroom.
Ready, steady, fire, said Mr. Puff. But as Sam took aim, he slipped. The hose flew from his hands. Starry smoke filled the room. When it was cleared, Sam was in shock. He was smaller than the bottle of bath oil.
It shrunk us as well as the dinosaur, began Sam. He heard a roar behind him. Run! Suddenly, the dinosaur looked at the door. Sam and Mr. Puff dived for cover. The dinosaur should have hidden, too. Mr. Puff's cat was coming. She took one look at the dinosaur and chased it away.
Quick, said Mr. Puff. We must change back to our normal size before that dinosaur comes back.
First, they had to move the dial. Sam pushed. Mr. Puff pulled. It was hard work. Then they dragged the hose into place. By now, they were exhausted.
Everything's hard when you're small, Sam panted.
Cheer up, said Mr. Puff. We just have to turn it on. But they couldn't shift the lever.
I hope we don't break it, said Sam.
Mr. Puff didn't have anything to say. They climbed off the machine. What were they going to do?
Just then, the cat jumped onto the slide machine. The lever moved.
Clouds of smoke filled the room. Sam and Mr. Puff started to grow and grow and grow. They were back to normal at last.
Now, what are those dinosaurs up to? Said Mr. Puff.
The dinosaurs were running all over the house. Sam tried to help catch them. The dinosaurs thought it was a game.
Got you, cried Mr. Puff as he scooped up the blue dinosaur.
Phew, they're worse than puppies. What am I going to do with them?
Think of puppies, gave Sam an idea. If you can train dogs, why not dinosaurs?
Brilliant, said Mr. Puff. And then maybe you'd like to have one as a pet. They're very sweet.
Thank you, Sam said, but I'd rather just visit them sometimes. I think I prefer my dinosaurs in books.
Sam never told anyone about the dinosaurs next door or his narrow escape. But whenever he saw Mr. Puff's cat, he always took out a saucer of milk to thank her.
Now I'm gonna read. I'm gonna read Spot the Cat. Good night, sleep tight. By Rob Scotton. Spot was happy. It was almost night. He was getting ready to camp under the moonlight. Everything is just right, Spot told his mom. I have my sleeping bag, my flashlight. And I have a surprise, said Splat's mom. Let's go outside. Mom and Splat went to the garden. They pulled back the tent flaps. Splat peered inside. The two set of eyes peered back. Say hello to Spike and Blink. They are camping here tonight. Splat felt his whiskers wobble with fright. Mom whispered, Splat, I don't like Spike. You might like him better if you spent some time together, said Splat's mom. You'll see. Everything will be just right. I'm hungry, said Spike. What did you bring for me to eat? I have some fish cakes, said Splat. Yum, said Spike. He gobbled them up in a delight. Well, I'll finish this book when we get back from the break. Well, then, let's take a break. I'm Lizzie Marie, and we have Brayden here. And you're listening to Bookworm.
Bookworm is a show for the reader and those that should probably be reading a little more. We'll tackle the classics, the bestsellers, and the brand new works that you won't be able to put down. Your host will be combing the pages of them all and letting you know what needs to be in your personal library and what might be better reading for the bathroom. Tune into Bookworm, airing Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. We promise that listening will be just like delving into a good book.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up? What does it mean to be a Supergirl? It's all about acceptance, respect, healthy relationships, and how to deal with peer pressure. It's all about real-life issues that girls face every day. Join your hosts as they talk about hobbies, friendships, dealing with bullies, and living life as a Supergirl. Be sure to tune in every week for Supergirl Guide, the radio show, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. With some support and knowing that you're not alone, it makes all the difference in the world.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Lizzie Marie from Bookworm, and we're back to our book, Splat the Cat, Good Night, Sleep Tight, by Rob Scotton. Look, said Splat, the stars are so bright. I see at least a million. I see 71, said Plank. I see nothing, said Spike, but two silly cats looking at the moonlight. Okay, baby. It's getting late, said Splat. Let's try to sleep, but Plank cannot rest. My sleeping bag is too tight, he said. Plank tossed, he turned, he struggled, he stretched, and he strained. Rip! You're welcome, said Spike. Splat was just about to fall asleep when he felt something wrong. He saw a dark shadow creep up the tent wall. Run for your life! Lives!
It's just a shadow.
Splat shouted with all his might. Boom, 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 boom. Splat! Spike laughed. Did I give you a fright? What's the big deal? Said Spike. Everything is all right. Splat did not think so, but he was too tired to pick a fight. One by one, Splat's whiskers drooped. One by one, his eyes shut tight. Suddenly, Spike sprang. What's wrong? Said Splat. There's something strange crawling up my leg, said Spike. Mommy!
Screamed Mommy.
Mommy! Mommy! He screamed Spike. He scrambled out of the sleeping bag and stumbled out of the tent. When Spike took flight, He took the whole tent down with him. Oh, Seymour, said Splat. It was just you. It's all right, Spike. Come back, said Splat and Plank. We'll protect each other for the rest of the night.
Protect. I protect you with my arms. Oh. I will hug you the whole night.
Promise? Sniffed Spike. Promise, said Splat. Now, good night, said Splat. Sleep tight, said Plank. Wait, sleep tight, said... Good night. Now, good night, said Splat. Sleep tight, said Plank. See you in the morning light, said Spike. For three friends who camped out that night, everything turned out just right. Except for the part where he screamed, Mommy, I guess. That's, like, hilarious. Mommy! Screamed Spike. And now it's Brayden's turn to read a book. Read a book.
Yay!
This book is called Diving Dolphins by Karen Willis. A young dolphin dives through the water. His shiny skin is smooth as satin. Far below, he sees his mother. His baby sister swims beside her mother. The young dolphin twirls beside his mother. Their flippers touch. They rub each other's beaks. Where has the baby dolphin gone? Mother dolphin calls her baby. She makes a special whistling sound. The baby hears her mother calling. The baby turns and stays beside her. The young dolphin swims away with older dolphins. He leaves his mother and his baby sister. He twirls and leaps with the older dolphins. They splash the water with their tails. Hundreds of fish flash through the water. The fish turn together. The dolphins follow the frightened fish. They swim around in circles. Dolphins snatch the silver fish. Their teeth are sharp. They gulp down the fish whole. The growing dolphin is always hungry. He eats and eats to fill his belly. The dolphins turn and dive together. They spin and tumble. They squeal and whistle. When one swims off, the others follow. One young dolphin roams the ocean. He hunts for fish through beds of seaweed. He rides the waves to travel faster. The waves push him over the sparkling water. The dolphin leaps as the sun is setting. The sea is smooth and the fish are hiding. The dolphin sees the fish in the water. They glow like stars far beneath him. The dolphin chases the fish. He swims down and down to the sandy seabed. He does not know that killer whales watch him from above. The killer whales are hungry. Oh. The killer whales shoot through the water. Their jaws are strong. Their teeth are like knives. The young dolphin gives a warning whistle. The other dolphins race away. The killer whales swim through the water. The dolphins hear them coming closer. The young dolphin hides. He makes no sound. This time the killer whales don't find him. The dolphin leaps. He breathes in air through a blowhole on the top of his head. The dolphin dives again. A turtle watches him. An octopus waggles past through the water. Now the young dolphin swims back to his mother. His baby sister has grown bigger. Their flippers touch. They rub each other's beaks. Soon the dolphin will hunt for fish again.
Yay! Very good.
There should be like a sign in here that says applause and it just blinks.
Oh yeah. That,
like you push a button like, and it goes like blink, 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 blink.
Applause. Blink.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's a good one.
So what's next?
What? What was that? A boing? Boing. Boing, 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 boing. I don't know what that's for. Like, are there people like boinging iron on like
springs?
Yeah, like yeah. Are they like
or a pogo stick?
Like, are they riding on a pogo stick out of the arena? Be like, boing, boing, boing.
Chicken.
Chicken. What the chicken? Am I gonna eat that thing or? I don't know if I want to read this weird Valentine's book or...
Then do a different one, like the one right there.
Let's do the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, that one's a little bit more...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, let's start. It's Splat the Cat. Where's the Easter Bunny? Easter Bunny. Easter Bunny. And the writer is Rob Scotton. Splat can't believe it. It's almost Easter, and he still hasn't told what the Easter Bunny one he wants most. We have to find the Easter Bunny, Splat tells Seymour. Dear Easter Bunny, this is what I want for Easter. A really big Easter egg. Where is the Easter Bunny? Do you know? Is he hiding behind Splat's toy car? Nope, it's just a hedgehog having a picnic. And the hedgehog's like,
what?
What? What are you doing behind my toy car? I mean, maybe he's playing in Splat's den. Splat's den. Keep out. Nope, it's nothing but a bunch of funny ducks. And I mean by ducks, I mean quack quack ducks. Where's the Easter Bunny? Do you know? Could he be driving that truck? Nope, a bunny driving a truck would be too silly. And if in real life, and if Splat was invading someone's privacy, the person in the truck would be like, get out of my fish aquarium truck! And be like,
fish aquarium.
No, literally, it's literally a fish aquarium truck. Like,
wait, let me
there's
see.
Fish in it. Like,
oh, yeah, I can see.
Yeah,
it's like, super. There's fish in the. It's an aquarium truck. It's a moving aquarium.
Yeah. Or is that him reading the newspaper?
No, it's
nope. It's
cat.
Definitely not a bunny. Not a bunny, people.
Is it an old man?
No, I think it's like an old cat lady.
Oh,
like literally an old cat lady, like a lady, a cat, like a cat lady.
That's really old. A cat lady. That's really old.
Yeah, and I don't mean like a real person. I mean like a person that's a cat. Where's
oh,
Easter?
Oh, I know.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Oh. Like
you a person that's dressed as a cat. That's no, really old.
No. I'll explain it later.
Okay. Yeah.
Where's the Easter Bunny? Do you know? Is he hiding behind that sign? Nope. That's Splat's teacher, Miss Wimpy Diddle.
What?
I think it's like Wimpy Biddle. Wimpy Pipple. Like
Pickle. Wimpy Pickle.
It's not Wimpy Pickle. It's like Wimpy Pimple. Like, I don't even know what it is. So let's
just keep reading.
Yeah. Is he painting the Easter eggs? Nope, that's Splat's friend. Get in.
It should be just, like, is it a girl or a boy? It's probably, like, a girl or something.
Kitten's a girl.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. Where's the Easter Bunny? Do you know? Is he hiding under this umbrella? Nope, that's Splat's friend Spike.
Spike, he must have a spike on it, so like a unicorn.
No, he's not. Like, he's perfectly fine.
Oh.
And he doesn't have a spike. Oh, we have to go. I didn't get to finish my bookie.
Next time.
Well, next show, we'll probably finish that book, but we might have a different guest. But we have Brayden here today, so let's think about that. So, we gotta go.
You've been listening to Bookworm on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll be here at the same time next week, so be sure to tune in. Now, how many books do you think you can get through before our next show?